You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
Pim and Kim Holderness are widely celebrated for their entertaining viral parody videos, singing included, on topics ranging from parenting and helping kids with homework and masking up for the pandemic to the tune of the Hamilton soundtrack, no less, to stupid, quote-unquote, healthy habits and everything in between. Now Pim and Kim are tackling a serious subject close to their hearts in their new book, ADHD is Awesome. It's a lively but informative dive into what the ADHD brain is and symptoms and strategies that neurodiverse people and their loved ones can use to make the most of their unique brain chemistry. In addition to so many practical tips, the book is as humorous as the Holderness family videos are and reads like a love letter between Pim and Kim, modeling a relationship in which the partners value one another and work hard to strengthen those bonds. It was a great chat with Pim and Kim. It's funny, it's honest, and it's real. I poke fun a little bit at Pim wearing cargo shorts because I get it. They're great. They lots of pockets, but it's leave it in the 90s. And me and my colleague, Meredith Scheiser, we spent some time with Pim and Kim, and I really think you're going to enjoy this chat. So let's just get to it. Go on and grab a snack, because you'll need it in this episode, because we talk a lot about Macaroni Grill, a little bit about Red Lobster. So, like, there's lots of food chatter in this. So you're going to need a snack for this one. But I'll be right back with Pim and Kim Holderness.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, both of you, Pim and Kim. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having us.
It's so, so nice to meet you. So as I said before, my colleague Meredith will be asking, is joining me today, which is very exciting, and she'll be asking a bunch of questions. Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Kim.
But my first question for both of you is the book. The book is fantastic. I have it right here. As you can see, I'm very important and I made notes.
You made
everything.
Marks.
And there's something, Pim, I have a question. We're going to talk about cargo pants later. Trust me. I have questions about cargo pants.
Same.
Yes. Thank you. I think you understand where I'm going to be going with that. Yes, I think so. Yes. But before I get to the cargo pants, I need to know, what made the two of you want to do this book? Let's start with you, Pim.
Well, you write the book you need, yeah. Right? That's how we wrote our first book, which was about how to fight with your spouse correctly.
We super needed that book.
It was really useful. It helped us out tremendously in life, in work, because we work together as well. Mm-hmm. In that same vein, Kim and I live and work together and spend a ton of time together. I knew that I needed to write this book when I saw that raising a family added a new level of difficulty to my brain being able to handle multiple tasks at once, and things started falling through the cracks like they did when I was a kid. And despite all the systems that I'd put in place to try to manage it, raising a family, being a good and attentive parent and husband all at the same time was something that was a challenge to me. And, I felt myself letting people down around me. And I honestly, even though I'd gotten diagnosed with ADHD, I didn't really know why my brain was doing what it was. So this book was kind of a deep dive into what ADHD really is. And a wonderful thing that happened was once we both discovered what it was, I was able to recommit myself to be better at what I was doing. And she was able, I think, to be a little more understanding of why that was happening. Not completely understanding, but at least like a little bit, right?
Well, don't you find that if you can name an emotion, or you can give something a name or understand why it's happening, it doesn't make it easier, but you just understand it more.
Yeah.
So we had done this work in marriage counseling, because part of it was like, why aren't you listening to me? Why can't you do this? And there's, he is, ADHD is an explanation, not an excuse. We don't use it as an excuse in our family. I'm not saying that. But it to understand and hear from a doctor that, oh, it doesn't even enter his working memory that he has put the keys in the refrigerator. His brain doesn't actually even file that away in the way it does in my brain. So when he leaves the stove on, it's, I'm not going to say it's not his fault because he has to put systems in place, but I understand now why it happens. Yeah. It doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it less frustrating. So to Penn's point, you write the book you need, and our family needed this. And we started from a very pure place of what the hell is happening in your head and how can our marriage and family work better having that information?
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, Kim. It's feeding off of that. Like, what's the most important thing that you want someone who loves someone with ADHD to know?
Can I have two? I think I'm going to ask for two. So something that I struggled with, was the advice that was given to us was connect, don't correct. And as a, I struggle, I'm a kind of, I deal with anxiety. And I tend to lead more, my Enneagram type is the perfectionist. So to me, it's like, you're not doing it right. Why aren't you doing this right? So that was my instinct. When for Penn's particular brain and his particular type of ADHD, he just needed connection. He knows he's screwed it up. He knows he's been so hyper-focused on something, he's missed a work call. He knows he showed up at the wrong kid's school to pick up the wrong kid at the wrong time. Like, he knows it. So me adding the, like, why can't you do this? This is so simple. Like, adding that added a level of shame for him, and it was not great. So offering connection of, like, not letting him off the hook, but saying, that super sucks. Yeah, that's hard. It's really hard. And just so knowing that an ADHDer is not trying to make the world difficult, the world is difficult for them, is an offering that connection. And then for me personally, something I have tried to help people with is, and this is my biggest struggle, is I think it's my anxiety talking, but I like some control. I think my way of dealing with my anxiety is knowing what I can control. So giving up control and letting his actions, like he's an adult, and letting go of whatever the consequences are. He has put systems in place. I've done my best to support. And if things don't go, like, I have to let it go, has been a game changer for me. That's a very long answer to your question.
Oh, that's good. That's really helpful. Penn, what's it like for you parenting a child with ADHD while having it yourself?
Well, it depends, right? It depends on how many things are going on at the same time. When I was first looking after my daughter, Lola, I was unemployed. And my wife was working. I was the manny or the stay-at-home dad or what. I don't know what
to call it. Call it a manny.
Yeah, I would call it a manny. Got it. Stay-at-home dad. The way that the ADHD brain works is if there's something that's new and challenging and of personal interest, like, we're very, very good at that. It's sort of the central tenet of hyperfocus, like this ability to, like, if you can block everything else out, you can be spectacular at your life. And that was my only job.
He was so good at being a stay at home dad. He was the best.
Right. So
that you were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you go from one kid to two, and you go from not working to working. And you go from working to starting your own business. And just like anything else, parenting is fun and hard and challenging. And so I put all of my energy into it. But sometimes the stuff that should be really easy, like listening to your kid when they're talking about their day and trying to drive at the same time, can be difficult. And so, like, you never want your kids to think that you don't care about them. But sometimes that's like, I see the disappointment in my kids' faces when they know that I didn't get to the end of their sentence. Mm. And so just like anything else that there is in life, you know, you try to apologize and move on, but it's a bit of a sting when you realize that, you're unable to keep that focus sometimes.
Well, I have a question.
I understand that completely.
I just want to ask a follow-up to that real quick. Like, is there any,
Because I mean, I imagine the emotional response to seeing, I mean, like you were saying, like you see the disappointment in your kid when you don't get to the end of a sentence, you see it in their face. And like the, I mean, for, I think someone who doesn't have ADHD, I think that is still gonna, you're gonna have an emotional reaction to that. But someone who does, your emotional reaction is probably even more intense because you're probably focused really hard on your own emotional reaction to it as well.
Yeah, you're talking about shame. Yeah. And we ADHDers are really good at being ashamed. Mm. And traditionally, like self-talk, which I didn't even realize I was doing it until somebody gave a name to it. Like when I mess up, I go, you're just a mess, man. Come on, what is wrong with you? And that is something that is also seen in any type of neurodiversity, right? And that's why understanding what it is so important. Mm-hmm. So that you can say, okay, that wasn't me. That was my brain. It's an explanation. It's not an excuse. What are you going to do now to get better at it? And then once you get past all of that, what's left is kind of a cool brain, which I mean, even with my kids, I think they like me. They think I'm fun and funny and all that stuff. Yeah. And I've got to manage the downsides and really try to accentuate the positives.
Yeah. Tim, so you have one child with ADHD, one without. Penn has ADHD. It's hard to manage people with special needs. How do you balance that?
First, I will add on to what Penn said. The ADHD brain is just pure magic and like fireworks and unicorns inside. There, it is so much fun, the things that come out of this brain. I joke that I think he sees the world and it's like cartoon characters jumping around. Mm. So there are so many amazing things that come out of these brains. Thank goodness. Listen, as a partner, he's a grown man. He has got to make his lists. He has to put his systems in place. I can't do that for him and I don't want to do that for him, but I can be supportive and he can, you know, he can raise the red flag and say, hey, and he's done this before and said, my executive functioning, I'm redlining today. And I got your back. Just like when I have anxiety, if I'm having a high anxiety today, I'm like, for no particular reason, I'm like shaking and can't get out of bed. He's like, I got it. So I think in that way that we both have our issues, we can step up. As a parent, I do feel more responsible. I have to put systems in place and I have to work with my kid on it. And some days I feel like I'm failing. Some days I feel like I have not done a good enough job with that because there is so much repetition required, I've learned, because to me, I can show one kid, hey, okay, you make a list of what you need in the morning and you check off the list every day before you leave for school. And that makes sense and that clicks. For another kid, it is every single day. What do you need to do before you're getting ready for school? I'm saying that, not telling him what to do. And I feel like every single day it's a repetition. But now I understand that brain just sort of requires it. And I do, some days I feel like I'm not doing enough. Some days it's really hard. But also some days it's just pure magic and creativity that comes out. And I'm like, thank God these brains are wired this way.
Along that lines, can you present having HD with, like, there are all kinds of funny aspects with it for you. How has it benefited your social media content, your career? How has it been good?
Sure. I've actually sort of sought out jobs that are ADHD friendly. My first job was a waiter, which was like just a lot of hard challenges at a time. Now the multitasking part was difficult. I would sometimes forget orders, but being able to constantly meet other people. And
can you also say that you sung for tips in the middle of the restaurant?
Yeah, there was that. So I was a waiter / singer. So that was
the macaroni grill.
Yeah.
Macaroni grill. I love the macaroni grill.
I don't know. Are there any left?
No. Yes. Well, there is actually one. I'm here in Los Angeles and there is one way in the valley I know about, but that's about
worth
it.
The trip.
Yeah.
Worth the trip. Also a Red Lobster right by it too. Also the only one in LA as well. Just saying.
Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
Just go for like a 1990s trip to Red Lobster and macaroni grill. Make it like a staycation.
Oh, dude. I'll join you. Come out. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Do it.
Okay. Yeah. Done. I went into working in television, which is, you know, like live news television, where you have deadlines every day and there's just a clock counting down. You've got to beat the clock and it allows you to throw away all of your other distractions and have one task. And I like to think that I, for the most part, excelled at that. And then this wonderful thing was invented called social media, where you are literally able to present forms of entertainment to people, sometimes as short as 6 seconds at a time, in any format that you want. And that is nirvana for an ADHD creator. By the way, I would say, well, we've talked to a bunch of them. Most of our friends who work in this space
have ADHD.
Have ADHD. So having dinner with them.
Oh my!
Poor gosh. Kim.
I need some quiet time. I need to suck my thumb and like be in the fetal position in the corner after dinner with like five different Instagram, TikTok people.
So, but ADHD allows you to go on. You know, you say I'm spacing out. You know, in this world, you're spacing out because you're going on a creative journey in your mind. And then if you can find a way to harness that, which luckily I have the training to do through editing and, you know, writing and all those other things, I think it gives me an advantage sometimes over other people. And then I was able to, thanks to my wife and some other people, I was able to kind of help build a team of people who don't have ADHD, who can help it actually get posted in the right places without typos and mistakes and all those other things.
I could see you we have, you know, somebody named Amory and Sam, they help us make sure things get posted. I could see you making 10 videos and forgetting to post them. it's equivalent of the kid who does the homework. We have this kid and that doesn't turn it in, does all the homework. That's the grown up social media equivalent.
Right. And when you read the book, you'll learn all about the way that our brain looks at different things, the way that like our executive functioning works. Mm-hmm. And she just explained it pretty well. Like you can get the hard stuff right and really
the
easy stuff that you forget about.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book is great.
Yeah. So the book is fantastic, but the cargo pants. And I think Kim understands this. I think it's pretty clear. As a gay homosexual, cargo pants are just a no. I feel like it's a dad thing from 1988. I can't do it. I understand it. I understand the practical need of it, but I'm also a little like
horrified.
Just wear a fanny pack. Just wear a fanny pack if you have to. Or a purse.
Oh, but you're gonna lose your purse.
No, but see here,
pin.
You can't attach it to you. You take the fanny pack and you loop it through your belt.
Okay. Does that actually work?
Oh. It does. It does.
I think we need to do a version 2 of this book. Like it needs a reprint. So I need to jump in real quick.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. First of all, he's talking about there's some, you know, Penn calls them these upstream solutions. So these solutions he's put into place to make sure he doesn't lose things. Mm-hmm. So I will say how I fight this is I found a brand of shorts that have zippers on the pockets. And so that he's wearing more instead of the cargo pants, because the cargo shorts, which are horrifying, they like go down below the knee. So this new brand has zipper pockets and that has worked. But what happened recently, we were leaving Austin and we get out of the car, out of the Uber, and he's like, hey, babe, I don't have my wallet. I'm going to have to go back to the hotel. I'll see you back in Raleigh. I'll take the later flight. And I was like, because his wallet had fallen out. Oh. And so I was like, okay, because he wasn't wearing his cargo pants. He wasn't wearing his zipper pockets.
My zipper pockets.
And so I was like, okay, bye. And like that was me giving up control. I'm like, okay, this is your thing. He did end up finding it in the Uber between the cracks, but this is what happens. Like he does not have awareness of where his ish is.
That's interesting.
If I may.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Something's got to give. So when you get married and your wife promises to love you no matter what, cargo pants are in play. Because
I don't know, babe.
I ask you this. Would you rather me be wearing some Hugo Boss? I don't even know.
That might be the problem here. That you don't know.
Does Hugo Boss make shorts?
I don't know. Not for you, but sure.
My husband has a belt clip with his glasses. Yeah, so there. I can't say anything.
This is one very important part of the book. I don't mean to keep promoting the book, but I'm going to promote this.
Oh, please do.
When you put systems in place,
yeah,
you need to rank not the things that mean the most to you, but you need to rank the things that bother your partner the most. And you need to tackle those one at a time.
Yeah.
And when you tackle your ADHD shortcomings, you must do them one at a time. Mm-hmm. And you got to work on it. And then once you've got it mastered, you move on to the next thing. So I listed on a scale of 1 to 5 with her help, but I think I could have guessed what bothers her the most. I fidget a lot. I play with my silverware all the time. I am sometimes not aware that I'm making noises, just general noises, yeah. like while smiling or reading a book or dog. And for someone who has low-grade misophonia and anxiety, like she doesn't love that.
Yeah.
However, more important to her, she doesn't want to have to make lists for me, right? She doesn't want me to leave on things or leave open things that jeopardize the safety of our family, leaving a stove on, leaving the door locked. Right. She cares about those things. I work on them first.
Yeah.
I think that Kim cares more about the fact that I don't, you tell me, I think she cares more about the fact that I don't tuck the chair in after I leave the kitchen than my pants are cargo pants.
So I think he's avoiding, I think he's avoiding he's really trying to defend these cargo shorts. Yes,
I am.
It's hard to keep up with like the losing of the things. So these are the things you put in place. Maybe I think what we should do is that we should come up with a stylish pair of shorts that has or ADHD shorts.
Your dresses have pockets now.
Well, yeah, I know.
But pockets are fine. Pockets are fine. There's nothing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Penn. I think the two of you should go on an episode of Queer Eye and just have a full, wouldn't that be amazing? And just have a full on like cargo pants intervention / alternatives that would meet the cargo pant requirement while not being necessarily cargo pant.
I celebrate this.
Yeah.
Who do we know?
I mean, we'll do it at Macaroni Grill. We'll figure this out. We'll have a whole thing.
We'll get it sponsored.
Well, speaking of misplaced items, I do want to know what pen is like. I mean, because what I love about the book is it is serious, of course, but there also are like comical things. You know what I mean? Like figuring out how to get these hacks in your life and whatever the things you've misplaced. So what is like one of the most comical things or comical moments that you've misplaced something and where did you find it?
Yeah, there's a lot. I just like Kim came downstairs one morning and my pants were in front of the refrigerator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As they weird. Are.
Yeah.
This didn't make the book.
Should I explain why the pants are in front of my refrigerator? Keep going.
Well, I think like I think he just went straight to food and he was eating a chicken wing and he's like, I don't want my pants on anymore. And he just took them off and then forgot he wasn't wearing pants. And then
that's relatable. Like, that's relatable.
It was the middle of the night. I got up late. I was eating. It was warm downstairs.
Yeah.
And
you take off as one does. You take off your pants to eat a chicken wing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm wearing a bathrobe. Who wears pants with a bathrobe? Because I put on my pants to go downstairs and a bathrobe. So I just took my pants off. I'm like, this feels better.
Wow. And you're really setting up a scene here. I mean, I feel like
we also have cameras all over our house. I think there's probably footage of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reality series. That's something for it. That's definitely.
Oh, there's I ran over a fork in my driveway and it's super flat now. And then I put the fork in my car and then I opened the door and it fell from my car onto that little running thing.
Run board.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then a year and a half later, I found the fork still there. Like no matter where you drove, it was like aerodynamically protected. I'm like, look, there's the flat fork.
And would you bring it inside? No. That's not too.
I mean, still there. After a year, it's clearly ownership is the car at this point.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the other thing that I want to ask the two of you is, I mean, you have made a career out of social media, like you were talking about, the wonderful, the beautiful aspects of social media. But as someone who also lives on the internet, I also know very well there are people out there who want to make it very toxic and come back with things that are sort of surprising in the comments. And I want to know, because both of you, and you present, you're honest, but you're also happy people. You're bringing happy, funny, good content into the world, which I think we need a lot more of. But a lot of times on Instagram, it isn't always happy, good, fun content. How do you deal with the toxicity of social media? And also on top of that, someone with ADHD, I can imagine sometimes when it does get toxic, it becomes an even bigger issue because you're obsessing over something that maybe is a non-issue. It's just some crazy person on Instagram saying something crazy.
He's looking at me because this is more me. I am the one, you know, everybody says, don't read the comments. Well, you're missing the beauty of social media if you're not reading the comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a conversation. And I love that I recognize people's names in the comment section. I have met people, we've been in airports and she's like, oh my gosh. And she'll say her name and I recognize the name. So I think we are in the comments. I am in the comments specifically. There have been, again, when it's on our page, it's always pretty positive. When something goes, that's why I say I don't love it when things go like crazy viral, mm-hmm. because when they go crazy viral and then they get ripped and somebody else has put them on their page and I don't know who that audience is. And then they don't know anything about us and the comments are terrible. It's like four different steps, but I take that stuff super personally. I shouldn't, I hate it. And I wish I didn't. I wish I could be really mature and see like their opinion of me is not my business and like whatever it is you're supposed to say to yourself, but I have not been able to do that. So if you have advice on that,
I'd
love
don't.
To hear it.
I wish I did.
No, but I take it really personally. And I think it's hot garbage that people can get behind, you know, keyboard. Like I'm very aware of what people put out into the universe. And I think social media has been so good to mm-hmm. us. But there are moments where I definitely want to log out, have yes. somebody change the password and not tell me.
Definitely.
You've got a good beat on ADHD. Because you said something about how when these things happen, you can become fixated on them.
Yeah.
That's a very, very darn near perfectly correct, which mm-hmm. is our brains emotionally, because we get fixated on certain, the metaphor we use in a book is it's like being in a fishbowl. Mm-hmm. You're in a fishbowl and something bad happens. Imagine like something bad happens as being like a red dye that you put in the fishbowl. Mm-hmm. So just that one little drop will cloud not only that particular event, but everything else going on around you. So you could be on vacation in paradise on a yacht and you could see something like that and it would cloud everything in a way that sometimes neurotypical brains don't. And so like if someone writes a slam piece on you, which has happened to me, if you like, so Google
pen
holderness, lop sweaty douchebag clown.
Oh.
And there's an article written about me like 10 years ago. Yeah. And 10 years ago, I had a really tough time with it. I'm like, why does this person feel this way about me? Mm-hmm. I've now that I know how the ADHD brain works, like that one drop can go in.
Yeah.
But also another drop, like my wife coming in and kissing me on the cheek and telling me a joke and like diverting me some other place. You can change that color in the fishbowl pretty quickly.
And then it goes away.
And then you can become forgiving. And yeah, so that's. So,
yeah.
So it just, to me, I get really, really bummed out. And then, you know, oh, look, there's a
squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of metaphorical.
It's
one,
like the
yeah.
dog and up, you know, squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, that dog was yeah. one of our heroes.
Yeah.
One of our 80
yeah.
heroes.
I mean, I always feel like that one of the things, at least how I handle social media, whenever someone comes negative at me, it's always just a reflection on who this person is and what they're probably struggling with. And they're just putting it on people who are trying to put out happy, good things, you know?
I know. And I remind myself that like hurt people, yes. like all that. But
although
when you're,
it's annoying though.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
That being said, so his brain's capacity to forgive.
Yeah. We're good at forgiving.
And
yeah. isn't that
and,
cool?
And yeah. literally forget if we get into a fight or, we say our sorries, we move on and he has moved on. In a very authentic, wonderful, wonderful way that I can get a little spicy and I can hold a grudge. So he like it is the good parts are really, really good in yeah. that way.
Yeah. I feel like you and I, Kim, are going to have a lot to talk about at Macaroni Grill.
When we go to Macaroni
That's right.
Grill.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, I think I discovered you guys. I mean, you guys have been around for a long time and I know I'd seen your videos, but I feel like there was a special place during the pandemic where some of your videos definitely hit home and it offered a an escape kind of from the pandemic and what was going on. And I wanted to know if there are any videos that you've done that stand out to you particularly over as your favorites or ones that you point to being like, we did something with that one.
During the pandemic, we're proud of a lot of the stuff that we did. It was kind of cool. I'll say it again. We didn't have a lot else to do. We had one thing to focus on, and it was kind of great for this particular brain. I like the one we did about wearing the Hamilton mashup. So we did. We wrote that very quickly.
I was playing basketball with my son in the driveway, and I said, "Hamilton's coming out on Disney Plus this Friday. We should do something with like Hamilton and wearing a mask and something like that." In about 12 minutes, he wrote that. And then we don't have a prop department. It's just like what's in our attic.
Yeah.
And so shot it in an hour, posted it that afternoon or the next day. So I think the speed in which that happened and how, when it's really easy and it's really simple, I liked that one. What else did we do?
We did one called Libido Killer.
Oh,
it was right before the pandemic, but that was fun. Funny. That was because we're both Michael Jackson fans, his music.
Yeah.
The
stress is stressing just the music.
Just right. The music. I also feel like my brain has lost a lot of those.
All of your Rona videos were good. Kim became a character named Rona.
Yeah.
And she was just the worst.
I was driving him home from school the other day, and he out of nowhere, he said, "Sometimes I miss the pandemic." And he goes, "I feel like I can't say that in front of my friends." But I think what we all miss is just how simple, the simplicity of it all, and having nowhere to be and nowhere to go.
And a ridiculous amount of family time, too.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I did love how we did that because we had just hired somebody to work with us, Sam, who was supposed to be in our house. And then the pandemic happened. Mm. And so everybody switched to like work from home. So we'd shoot stuff. They would make sure it's posted. We'd drop it. Like we got a system in place that allowed us to, I think we were shooting 4 or 5 videos a week.
Wow.
We did. Yes. It was crazy.
Yes.
But it was I have to say, it was therapeutic for us to do that.
Yeah.
And thank you, because it was therapeutic for the rest of us also.
Definitely. Well, speaking of the pandemic, and my last question for you is, during the pandemic, you also had, or at least at the very beginning, if I'm right, when you started filming Amazing Race in February. Yeah. I mean, that, first off, someone with ADHD traveling, I feel like, is a whole other world of complications and situations, right?
Yeah. So Kim was the only one allowed to touch our passports or fanny pack, which was...
You could lose anything else, but if you lose your passports, you're off the show.
You're out.
Yeah.
So
I was the keeper of the passports.
Good.
So first of all, just a little inside information. We got 3 episodes in to that show, and we were in Scotland. And do you remember like the cruise ship from Italy and all these things like headed toward London? They're like, "Oh, it's London Heathrow is ground zero." So we're sitting in Scotland. They've taken our phones away because you can't have phones.
Yeah.
They've taken the phones out of our hotel room. The only thing we could watch was like local television.
Oh, wow.
And the BBC's like, "It's coming." Yeah. And we're wondering, is this over? And of course, after a couple of days of sitting in the room.
Well, so here we shot 3 episodes of The Amazing Race, and I could sort of tell that they were editing the race as we were going, because our visa and our passport, we were supposed to go to Nepal.
Yeah. Mm.
And all of a sudden we're in Scotland. I was like, methinks they're editing this. Like, I think they're having to make up routes as they go.
They were staying out of Asia.
And
sure. Yeah.
They, we're in the hotel room. This is probably just too much information. We're in the hotel room, and after we were supposed to depart, we had won that leg.
Yeah.
So we were supposed to depart at midnight, catch the first flight. And they knocked on our door and said, "You're not leaving due to a security issue." And I said, "There ain't no security issue. We're done."
Yeah.
And then we sat they're like, "Okay, we're going to leave the next day. So you're going to have another day, and we can't leave the hotel room. Mm-hmm. We can't call anybody. We can't do anything." My anxiety was doing awesome. JK, it was awful. And I just knew we were done. And I was like, there's a pandemic starting. Are we going to be able to get, or not? I didn't think they were calling it a pandemic, but there's a virus coming.
Yeah.
I need to get home to my kids. So I had a little freak out. And then they got us all together and they said, yeah, we're done. We're sending everybody home.
Wow.
So it was a very scary time. We cut to us flying through London Heathrow. We land and nobody here. We landed like March 3rd or 4th.
Yep.
Wow. And nobody here.
They're like, what are you talking about?
And it's like, everybody go buy toilet paper. Paper towel. Like, stock up. Yeah. And everybody, nobody was talking about it. It was, I felt like I was living in crazy land.
Yeah.
And then the world shut down.
I didn't answer your question at all. Your question was about what it was like having ADHD.
This is the most ADHD answer ever.
The answer, tell me if you agree. I think that ADHD was more of an asset than a hindrance.
It's the reason we won.
Yeah. On The Amazing Race. It is, again, if you got one thing to do, which I mean, there's a lot of different challenges, but the one thing is be there for your partner, win the race, right? You have no phones. They take your phones away. For me, it was heaven. Because I didn't have distractions. I had very simple tasks. Well, not simple. I had very direct tasks in front of me.
Yeah.
And I think that bodes well for someone who has the ability, if they can harness it, to hyperfocus on things. Yeah. And there were a lot of opportunities to use it.
Whereas I saw the camera guys over here and, oh, he's looking over there. Should I be looking over there? And I saw everything and he saw the one thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we won.
Yeah.
Because he could just hyper-focus on it.
I mean,
it.
That is kind of the blessing of, I mean, I was just thinking, like, my boyfriend doesn't even have ADHD, and yet I'm the holder of all the passports and stuff to make sure that we get to places on time and everything works.
There's always one person.
There has to be the holder.
But it must be kind of a blessing, too, that you're able to focus so intently so that someone who doesn't have ADHD, you're thinking of every possibility that could come from something possible. You know what I mean? Like, you're so, your mind is so expansive. Well, I guess my actual last question is, what do you ultimately hope people take from the book? What is a message that you think people need from this book?
You're not broken. You're not alone. A lot of us have it. There's no reason to be ashamed. Your brain is not weird. It's wonderful, incredibly creative. A lot of the great inventors, a lot of the great CEOs are people who have this type of brain. The name is terrible. It's not a deficit of attention. It's an abundance of attention. All you have to do is learn more about what it is, take that knowledge and use it to build systems to minimize where you get in trouble. And what's left is spectacular. What's left is dynamic and original and fun-loving and caring. And I know a lot of people wondering if they're going to be able to get by. And I know that's tough, but if you can find a way to get by on the stuff that's hard to you, what's left is spectacular.
That's fantastic. Well, Penn and Kim, I cannot wait to go to Macaroni Grill with both of you. Meredith, are you going to join as well? I think you should.
I'm going to have to fly in. I don't know.
Yeah, fly on in.
Worth it. Hey, we will add on Red Lobster if you fly in.
Hey, we'll start with, we'll get the cheesy biscuits from Red Lobster and then head over to Macaroni Grill for everything else.
I don't know if it's still on the menu. There was a bow tie pasta and we had all the nutritional information that had 95 grams of fat in it.
Wow. I feel like these days people are keto and that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Just say we'll be on keto for that day. Keto. It's fine.
It may not still be in there.
It's fine.
It's just pasta, so I guess that's not keto. I don't know anything about keto.
Neither do I. I don't either. But that's probably better for us. We're better that way. Well, thank
you. For another podcast.
Yes,
it is,
totally.
It's a separate podcast. Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much.
Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this episode. For the latest news and podcasts, go to newsweek.com and follow Newsweek on all the social platforms. And while you're at newsweek.com, be sure to subscribe to my newsletter, For the Culture. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.